And welcome back to Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. You know, folks, this is so cool. I just got to tell you. Here we are. I'm in Texas. Pastor Sam is off in Pennsylvania, and Vitalik is around the world, in the Ukraine. Can you hear me okay, brother? Got good volume? Okay,
well.
Excellent. And here we are. We've come together. And, you know, we serve a God that is not restricted by time, space, dimension. He is omnipresent, and he is omnipotent, and he is omniscient. And it's so cool to me, brothers, to realize that before any of us were born, God knew that this day would happen right here, right now. This is a divine appointment in this moment, right now.
Amen.
Isn't that, I mean, think about that for just a second. That is mind-blowing.
Absolutely.
So here's what I want to do. Folks, I know that I've got listeners that are engaged. I've got listeners that pray and seek the face of God and want to see this nation turned around. And so I want us to just take a moment here to pray. We've briefly filled Vitalik in on the fact that there is a biblical resolution that has been brought forward to President Pachenko, as Sam explained at the end of this last segment we just did, essentially saying, we want a biblical Christian republic established here in the Ukraine, and the president's response has been, I like that. I'm excited about that. Here, let's establish a spiritual restoration committee to help restore these principles into the country of the Ukraine. I mean, that is just amazing.
Yes.
It's amazing. So I want us to pray, and I'd like each of us to just take a moment to pray. So, Pastor Sam, I'd like if you would start, and then Vitalik, if you'll pray next, and then if you guys would allow me the honor of closing, I'd be honored to do that.
Absolutely. I'll go ahead. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so glad to be before you at this point. As Brother Greg has said, uniting our voice before an almighty God from three locations and all at once, coming before your throne. Lord, it reminds us of your omnipresence and the fact that you are ever-present just as much in Ukraine, China, Texas, Pennsylvania. You are there before us, Lord, and your principles apply universally, eternally around the world because your character does not change. Your commands do not change. We can have confidence in that. Lord, we pray specifically this morning for the nation of Ukraine, for those who are in leadership there, for the pastors that have gathered and are seeking your face and work that is being done. Lord, guard and guide them in these days of great uncertainty where the Russian bear to the east is snarling down on that country. Lord, we would pray that you would protect, honor those who are standing for truth. May you give them freedom. May you give them protection in these uncertain days. And Lord, I would pray for our folks here in our country who have really known the truth, but so many weak in the pulpit, silent, fearful, and those in office turning their back upon you as if they think that we do not need you. Lord, we need you, and we cannot continue as a nation in freedom without being on our face before you, seeking you. And so, Lord, I would pray for a return in this nation to the Word of God, in humility to the God who has established us and before whom all, Lord, we will one day fall on our knees. So we pray for these things, Lord, and ask that your will would be done in a mighty and glorious way.
Thank you. Yes, Lord, we come to you as our Creator and our Savior. And we are praying for nations, Lord, as you asked, as you said in your word, ask for the nations, and I will give them to you. Lord, all the nations are yours, and you hold them in your hands. And the hearts of the people are in your hands as well. We thank you, Lord, for moving the hearts of pastors and high officials in Ukraine to establish such initiative of creating a Christian Republic of Ukraine. And we ask, Lord, that this would not be just initiative at the top, but that your spirit would quicken people's hearts in all locations of Ukraine, that they would understand that, yes, we need God's guidance, we need God's rules, God's word, and God's commandments to regulate all the relationships of people in Ukraine. Let the fear of God come to people's hearts. Let them understand that without you, nothing will happen. No improvements will come, no matter where they come from, east or west. They only will come from you, from above, Lord. And let Ukraine become truly a Christian nation by repenting of the people before you and acknowledging you as their Lord and Savior. Also, Lord, I want to pray for Russia that you would touch people's hearts there as well. Let all the lies of the enemy that was placed in their heads be destroyed. Yes. Let your love, your forgiveness, and your grace would come and touch their hearts, Lord. And whoever will be touched by you, Lord, let them be your light there. Let them come to acknowledgement of you as being Lord and Savior as well, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for all the people that pray for our countries in America, for those who stand in the gap and are asking for your grace to come upon us. We see the results of those prayers, Lord. We are thankful for every word that was spoken to you in people's hearts for on behalf of Ukraine. Thank you, Lord, for all these faithful prayer warriors, and bless them, Lord, as a result. And we thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins on the cross and gave us eternal life. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father. Father, we are just amazed and awed at you. We bless you, we exalt you, and we praise your holy name. Father God, we come against every force of darkness right now that has attempted to choke out Ukraine, that has overcome even the nation of Russia right now, in
yes.
Jesus' name. We come against it right now by the power of the holy blood, the cross,
yes.
the resurrection, and the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who came in the flesh.
Lord.
And Father God, we ask right now, Lord, for mighty warning angels to do warfare over these regions and over these areas, Father God. Lord, we pray for the hurting and for the wounded and for the despairing and for the despondent in these nations right now, Father God, in Christ Jesus' name. We pray, Father God, for our persecuted brothers and sisters, our saints, Father God, in the Ukraine, in Russia, in Crimea, Father God. And Lord, even here in America, Father, Lord, we ask, Father God, that you would give them a renewing of their mind, spirit, and body now in Jesus' name.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Ask, Father God, Lord, that you would give them a sense of boldness and courage to speak up, Father God. And Father, we ask, God, that you would renew, Father God, their scepters of authority in these regions now in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Father, that you are Lord and you are God and you are sovereign over all of this.
Amen.
And we declare it now. And we ask, Father God, Lord, right now, that the veils, even as my brother Vitalik said, Lord, that the veils that are upon those that are bound in darkness that Paul wrote about in Corinth would be destroyed and removed from their eyes and from their ears, that truth would penetrate and they would see it and they would know it and they would accept it and they would receive it, Father God. And Father, we ask God that you would set free the captives now in Jesus' name. Make the blind to see, the lame to walk, raise the dead, Father God.
Yes.
Bring them back to life, Father. As Ezekiel looked into the valley of the dry bones, Lord, we look into this nation, and that's what they're asking for, a revival, a renewal, a reestablishing, that the dead would rise up. So even as you spoke into the valley of the dead bones, Lord God, we speak now into the Ukrainian region and into the Ukrainian government and into the Ukrainian people, Father God.
Yes, Lord.
And we speak it to America, and we speak it to Russia, and to the north, and to the south, and to the east, and the west, as we physically right now stand in different locations around the world, right now. We speak, Father God, to our north, to our south, to our east, to our west. Revival, come now.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Yes.
Release your spirit, Father God. release your spirit again, Father. We repent for that which we have allowed to happen. We cry out before you now. And you said, God, that if we would come and we would seek your face, if we cry out before you and repent, Lord, that you would hear and answer our prayer. And we ask that now, and we believe by faith, God, that you are well able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can think or ask according to the power that works in us. We pray all these things, Father, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Amen. Oh, brothers.
Praise the Lord. Powerful.
Praise God. Yeah.
Wow.
Powerful.
Well, Brother Sam, I know that you have another meeting you have to get to here in just a moment. I so appreciate you being with me this morning, brother.
Great to be with you. Great to be a part of this international prayer meeting. The amazing thing that, as you said, Greg, some years ago, to think that we could be united in prayer together, where we can actually hear the same time brothers in Christ lifting up their hands in prayer to a holy God. Amazing. I think the early church could never have imagined it. We know that we are one in faith when we truly believe in Jesus Christ, and we know that our prayers go up to the Lord and he hears them, but very seldom do we get to hear prayers being made and being a part of it at different parts of the world at the same time. Praise the Lord. What an amazing thing.
Yes. Vitalik, go ahead.
Yes, praise God. Yeah, communication is amazing. We first communicated with fax machines. It was probably hard to pray over fax machine together, but now we have Skype and other means which help us to come together, not Amen. Only by prayer on distance, but also by hearing each other and by seeing each other. This is wonderful. And thank you, Brother Sam, for praying for Ukraine. Seems like in the last, this last week, this coming week, I mean, the week that we're coming through, a lot of prayer is coming for Ukraine, for a situation here. And I just want to say on behalf of Ukrainian churches and people who appreciate those prayers, a huge thank you for all the prayer warriors that are praying for our nation here. Thank you very much.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Sam, I know you've got to run. We'll take a break, folks. When we come back, we'll have more of it for Vitalik live from the Ukraine. You're listening to Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses.
We return now to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Well, you know what? I've prayed with some brothers from Africa before and what have you, but I've got to say that was a significant event that the Lord just orchestrated for us to all pray together here. And I'm so thankful for you, my listening audience, because, you know, as you prayed in agreement with us, I felt it. I felt your agreement, and I felt y'all's prayers as you were praying with us. I really believe God's going to do something amazing, in the midst of this. Tell me, Vitalik, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that is happening over there. We're hearing about Russian aid, quote unquote, that was trying to get through. We're hearing about jets being shot out of the air. I mean, there's a lot going on, and the antagonism and the rumors of war, if you will, between Russia and Ukraine have escalated significantly. What are you hearing there? What are some of the things that are going on there?
Mm-hmm. I guess the news, they quote each other, you know, here and at your place in America as well. So we are getting about the same news. Yes, it seems like pro-Russian forces increased their attacks on Ukrainian army this week. And we were praying really hard for the safety of Ukrainian troops and for Ukrainian troops not to give up and stay strong in positions they took the previous week. Mm-hmm. And seems like today I'm reading news, they are standing strong, notwithstanding all of this, you know, despite all of these attacks and this shelling, they're still in their cities, in those cities that they took, and they are getting ready for really major attacks on bigger strongholds, bigger cities that are in the hands of terrorists at the moment. I'm talking about Donetsk and Lugansk. Those are two big cities. We hear more and more of people, those local people from those regions, reevaluating their position towards Russia and towards Ukraine, understanding that wherever these terrorists are, there is no peace. Okay. Wherever these separatists are, there is no order, there is no safety. There is people dreamt about something and they are not getting it.
Okay.
But places where Ukraine delivered, now those places are being rebuilt. And of course, Russian news don't want to go to those places to show how life is improving in those cities that Ukraine deliberated. So about the this convoy of humanitarian aid from Russia, so many comments were made about this. People, some even joking like this, you know, we were taught in our childhood, do not take a candy from a stranger. And here it comes, you know.
Wow, okay.
This strange guy is coming with a candy. Who knows what's behind this candy? So everybody is very suspicious about this. Even, you know, this humanitarian aid appeared from a blue, from nowhere. Like Putin just said, we're sending it to Ukraine no matter what. And our assistant of the Minister of Internal Affairs had given an interesting comment. Like he said, okay, we will send these trucks back with some of Ukrainian humanitarian aid to Russia with some eggs, some milk, some cheese, and so on. And he's got some comments on Facebook regarding his note like this, like, why Ukraine has to offer Russia any humanitarian aid? Russia is so rich, we can have all of our own products. And his comment was like, yes, you know, Ukraine never asked Russian humanitarian aid to come to Ukraine. So
right.
You feel now what we feel. So guys, thank you for humanitarian aid, but we are really suspicious about this. We don't know what's coming.
Well, the assumption, of course, the propaganda is that, oh, Ukraine is in such, you know, a terrible place. They're so in need of, you know, Russian help. They can't stand on their own. Their people are all starving. I mean, you, for a guy that's starving, you look pretty good. You look pretty healthy to me, man. I mean, I'm just saying, you know. So, I mean, but that's the dialogue, and of course, mainstream media, the AP, even over here, they're saying, oh, you know, how terrible, you know, Russia's just trying to be a nice guy and send aid over. I mean, that would be kind of like Mexico, I guess. Well, they're not sending us aid. They're just sending us their illegal aliens. But anyway, but I mean, if they were trying to send food here to Texas, we would kind of scratch our heads and go, why are you sending truckloads of food to us? We're not exactly sure what. I mean, is it the same thing? Is that kind of the deal?
That's yes, it is such a deal. It is very deceptive. I mean, the way how this humanitarian aid is coming. Okay, yes, Ukraine is suffering on the east, but there's still a lot of humanitarian aid is going there from Ukrainian side. Mm-hmm. There are many volunteers, activists who are involved in sending humanitarian aid from Ukrainian side to Ukrainian side on the east.
Right,
and here, Russian troops are crossing the border, stirring all the war, stirring all the killings and everything.
Right.
And then with the other hand, he's giving a little candy, like, here is a little sweetener for you. You know, like, just to say, like, we're still kind and good to you. But have you seen the pictures of that humanitarian aid, what is inside? Those trucks, it is a semi-truck, the like size of a semi-truck.
Okay.
Tented, covered with a tent truck.
Okay.
And on the bottom of that truck, there are like few dozens of bags of wheat or sugar or flour or salt or something else. So these trucks are not just half empty. I think they are just 25% full only.
Right, okay, okay.
But
okay.
They look big on the outside.
Right.
So look, we're sending 280 trucks of humanitarian aid, but they are empty. That's another kind of like thing, you know.
Which is
okay,
weird, sure, yeah. Why
like
would you send empty?
No, yeah, I have caught a fish that big. Mm-hmm. You know, fishermen, they kind of
tell
have
stories.
A little trick, you know, they say that big, and they show their hands wide open, but the real fish was that big, just,
right.
You know.
It's only 3 inches.
It's long, yeah. So that seems like the thing.
Well, I think the other observation that I get from this is that, you know, you talk about that the people in the East are having challenges, but the reason the people in the East are having challenges is because Russia keeps bombing them and blowing up their cities and shooting people and blowing up food supplies. So obviously you're going to have a problem when
yes.
and who's and they're creating the problem, and then, you know, go ahead.
Yes, they do create the problems.
Right.
These cities have no electricity, have no water supply, have no other infrastructural conveniences.
Right.
Because they were destroyed by the terrorists that are there. Seems like it is their tactics. They are trying to destroy as much of infrastructure as they possibly can. And with all of that, they are trying to fight for peace in this area. This is a hypocritical attitude, mm-hmm. saying one thing and doing another thing. People begin to see that their actions, the actions of these terrorists, speak more loud than their words, than the propaganda.
Right.
Now people are shifting in their minds towards the truth, towards Ukraine, towards what is really happening.
Right.
So their eyes are getting opened.
Now, we're almost out of time, so I want to touch on this real quick. You
yeah.
guys do a lot of work with orphans over there. Sam mentioned that there's a huge refugee problem over there as well. Are you assisting in both the with that refugee issue as well as the orphan issue? Or are you seeing a lot of, I don't know, orphan refugees? And how's that working? We got about a minute and a half.
Okay. I work with orphans, and I worked with orphans in Crimea, particularly. Refugees is another thing. It's families with children. We've heard the news that orphanages from Lugansk and Donetsk Oblast, some of them were evacuated on the Russian territory. We don't know what's happening with them there.
Okay.
We know that orphans that are in Crimea, they're treated according to Russian law now, and the Russian law does not take a good care of these orphans once they get graduated from the orphanage.
Okay.
They're treated same way like regular kids from other families. And here, it's a problem. They cannot enter universities they're having a lot of problems, let's say
right.
this way.
Right.
So, but refugees, I'm sorry, I don't work directly with them.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, we're going to connect you with Pastor Sam, as I told you this afternoon. I'll get you guys connected together. Vitalik, thank you for being here. What an amazing, opportunity for us to be able to come together and seek God's face over a nation.
Yes. Thank you, Pastor Greg, for inviting me over. And it was really encouraging to pray with you guys.
Fantastic. Folks, Vitalik, and he is live from the Ukraine. I hope you're able to tune into the prayer. I'll have Pete Santilli from Guerrilla Network when we come back right after Fox News. You're listening to Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses.